The Christian author, C.S. Lewis, said this. He said, prayer is irksome. Prayer is irksome, he said. An excuse to omit prayer is never unwelcome. We are reluctant to begin. He said, while at prayer, but not while reading a novel or solving a crossword puzzle, while at prayer, any trifle is enough to distract us. Well, is that a shocking thing to hear? Or does it sadly ring true? It's been said that the easiest way to embarrass a Christian is to ask us about our prayer life. We know we ought to pray more, to pray better. And perhaps we've tried various techniques. Regular time, a list or a diary, a prayer partner, all very helpful. And yet we've found, no doubt, there is no magic technique that will solve our problems with prayer. So how can we grow in prayerfulness? Think of your closest relationships on earth. Relationships with a spouse, perhaps. Relationships with a friend, a family member. And think of a time with some of those people when it was difficult to relate with them. Has there been a time when it's difficult to relate with people? When a communication perhaps broke down. Now, what was the problem? What was the problem there? Was it a problem of technique? A technique of speaking with them? Oh, yes, perhaps it helped to plan a regular day, a time when you could speak without distraction with them. But at the end of the day, the problem was deeper than that, wasn't it? It was a problem with the relationship. Perhaps we don't value the relationship enough. Perhaps they don't. Or perhaps the relationship is valued, but we've lost confidence in it. In the same way, what is the solution to our trouble with prayer? It's not first and foremost a problem with technique, is it? It is a problem with relationship. Perhaps we don't value the relationship enough, or they don't. And if we're trusting in Jesus and his death on the cross, then the relationship is there. But perhaps we don't have enough confidence in it. The trouble with our prayer is to do with knowing God, valuing that relationship, having confidence in it. Over the past few weeks, we've seen the simplicity of the doctrine of the Trinity. There is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Last week, we saw the implications of that for how we relate with each other. Relating in the image of God, relating in love and service, unity and diversity, equality and submission. Well, finally tonight, we're going to see the implication of the doctrine of the Trinity for how we relate with God, our relationship with God. Now, there is so much we could talk about under that heading. But I suggest that in order to make some practical progress in our lives, that we focus tonight on this difficult issue, crucial issue, that of prayer. I hope you've still got your Bible open at the book of Ephesians. If you don't, please turn to Ephesians with me. Here in Ephesians, as I said, the Apostle Paul has been explaining how God rescues us from death and judgment, rescues us for life and hope through the Lord Jesus. He's been emphasizing how this rescue unites Jews and non-Jews, unites us in Christ. And now let's see, what are the results? In a nutshell, look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me, would you? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Here is the result in a nutshell of Jesus' rescue. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. Through him, that is through Christ, we both, Jews and non-Jews, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And as you keep your Bibles open in Ephesians, because we'll come back to Ephesians later, The result of all Jesus has done is this, that Christians have access to God the Father, through God the Son, and by God the Spirit. And as we stand before God in his heavenly throne room, as we have that access to him and we open our mouths, prayer is what happens. So we pray to the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit. Clear as mud? Let's take each of those in turn. We pray to the Father. You remember Jesus' disciples asked him, Jesus, tell us, teach us how to pray. And what did Jesus say? Jesus answered, when you pray, say. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. We pray to the Father. Now, 3 weeks ago, one of you asked me a brilliant question. You asked me, is it okay to pray to Jesus? We often do it, don't we? Especially with little children. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray. Perhaps that's how we grew up, praying. Well, can you think of a time in the Bible when people pray to Jesus? Yeah, there's one or two times. Remember Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And as he kneels down and the rocks rain down on him, Stephen prayed. In Acts chapter 7, verse 59, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Or remember the prayer at the very end of the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. It's a prayer right at the end of the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. So it's fine. In fact, it's right to pray to Jesus. And if that's what you're used to doing, there's no problem. What about praying to the Holy Spirit? There aren't any examples, as far as I'm aware, in the Bible of prayer to the Holy Spirit. And yet he is a person, we've seen that, and he is God. So there doesn't seem to be a problem with praying to the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, the standard model that the Bible gives us is that we pray to the Father. As we just read, Paul wrote in Ephesians, we have access to the Father. As Jesus said, when you pray, say our Father in heaven. Let's take those words one at a time. Our Father, Jesus said. And it means that he cares. He cares. Let's look again at Ephesians chapter 3, shall we? It's what we just read. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Jesus said, for this reason I kneel before the Father. For this reason I kneel before the Father. And picking up at verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that being rooted and established in love, you may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, as we are filled with all the fullness of God, what does the Father do? He fills us with love because he cares. Christians are rooted in love, it says, established in love. It says how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of the Father shown in Christ. This love that surpasses knowledge. Our Father, it means that he cares. Now, none of us will have had perfect fathers on earth. Some of us may have had dreadful fathers on earth, I don't know. But God the Father is perfect, and he cares for us. Listen to Jesus joining the dots in Matthew chapter 7. Somebody said to Jesus, Jesus said, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Daddy? Please, may I have some toast? Ha! Chew on this rock, sunshine. Imagine. Which of you, Jesus said, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake? Daddy, please may we eat fish fingers tonight and ketchup? Ha! Tackle this cobra, kid. It's crazy. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We pray to our Father because he cares. In Jesus, he is our Father. He's our Father and he's in heaven. There's the next word. He is in heaven. And if our Father means that he cares, then in heaven means that he can. He can. Staying in Ephesians, let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul wrote, I pray that out of his glorious riches, out of the Father's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Our Father is in heaven, and so he can. He has glorious riches of power to strengthen us. Think of the biggest thing you could ask God for. Okay, the biggest, you know, reasonable logic. Not like, please make a square circle. That just wouldn't be logical. Think of the biggest logical thing you could ask God to do. He can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us as we trust Jesus. Imagine that your dad was powerful, okay? Imagine your dad was Barack Obama or Bill Gates or Roman Abramovich. Incredibly powerful. And I guess if you say at breakfast, Daddy, I'd like a car, please. I guess he could have it with you by coffee, any car in the world. He could flick his fingers and immediately three or four staff would turn up and do your every bidding. He could probably pull some strings to kickstart your high-flying career in politics or law or, I don't know, to be an airline pilot, whatever you wanted. But even the most powerful of fathers on earth is powerless, aren't they? In some cases, powerless in the face of grave illness, powerless in the face of death, even powerless in a simple thing like a broken heart, powerless. By contrast, our Father is in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. And from his blazing throne in heaven, he rules every flap of a butterfly's wing, every flutter of our hearts. He rules every economy in crisis. He rules every asteroid and galaxy. Our Father's in heaven, so he can. And we pray to the Father. So let's pray, hopefully. That's who we pray to. Let's pray cheerfully. So I'm praying this prayer, and I'm really hopeful. Because I know God is my Father. Just this Thursday, it's a silly little example. Just this Thursday, it was raining heavily, if you remember, in the afternoon. My family were out and about, and they didn't have umbrellas. I knew they were out and about. It was raining where I was. I just prayed a cheeky little prayer. Dear God, I know you're so good. I know you could do this. Please, may it not rain over where they are. Please? That was quite hopeful. And in fact, they stayed dry. Now, I realise it doesn't always work quite as neatly as that. In fact, I realise in some very painful circumstances, it doesn't work. It doesn't seem to work. We'll come to that in a minute. But first, we've seen that we pray to God, the Father. Yet perhaps we wonder, how can we be sure that God hears us? We're on earth. He's in heaven. We're rebels. We've rejected him as Father. Why should he listen to us? Well, because secondly, we pray through the Son. We pray through the Son. Turn with me, would you, to John's Gospel and chapter 14. John chapter 14, and if you've noticed, it's an account that we keep coming back to as we study the Trinity. Because on Maundy Thursday, as Jesus prepared for the cross, he clearly had the Trinity on his mind. Let's read John chapter 14 from verse 13. Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Extraordinary verses. "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So how can we know that God hears us? Because Jesus says we pray in his name, in the name of the Son. We pray through the Son. We pray in his name. And when we do that, it says that God will give us what we ask. After all, he's the Son. His relationship with the Father is perfect. The Father loves the Son. The Son serves the Father. It's a perfect relationship. And we're united with Jesus as we trust in his death. So we're sat with Jesus on the Father's knee, if I can put it that way. And the Father loves us just as he loves the Son. We pray through the Son. We pray in his name. Now, what does that mean? It means two things. It means that we pray because he bought us. We pray because he bought us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Sorry, I'm not giving you page numbers. Romans 5, page 795 if you've got a church Bible. And we'll be in Romans for a while, so keep your Bibles open there, would you? Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We pray through the Son because he bought us. He died on the cross to take the punishment we deserve. We trust him for that. So Jesus has brought us, what does it say? "Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." We stand, so God relates to us in grace, not in a law which would condemn us. And what else does it say, verse 1? "Since we have been justified," that is made acceptable or friends with God, "through faith we have peace with God." So God relates to us in peace. Why? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray through the Lord Jesus, and it means that he has bought us. So we pray in confidence. We pray in confidence. The other morning I drove home from a meeting, and I was driving in my car. I turned into my road, round the corner, and there just pulling up to my house was another car. It's pulled up and stopped. I pulled up my car just beyond that on my drive. I stepped out. As I stepped out, a young lady stepped out of her car, and she had a toddler, and she started walking up my drive. I didn't know her from Adam. And we met on the drive. I said, "Hello." She said, sheepishly, she said, "Can I come in?" I thought, this is a little bit awkward. You know, you're very welcome in theory, but you know, you're a young lady, here I am, here are the neighbours, what are they going to think? And fortunately, before I could speak, the lady said, she said, your wife, Hannah, she invited me to come for coffee. I thought, brilliant, okay, I get it. Come in, you're so welcome. You're here in Hannah's name. You're here in Hannah's name. And she came in and had coffee with us. Now, it made all the difference that she came in Hannah's name. Now, don't think, obviously, anyone's welcome to come and see us. And if you're a lady, and if Hannah's there, I'll bring you in and have coffee with us. That would be lovely. Make a date to come and see us. It would be brilliant. Just make sure Hannah's there. If you come and you're just, you know, you're a lady. You get the point. The point is, she came in Hannah's name. It makes a good illustration, you see. We come to God through Jesus in his name because he bought us. Because he bought us. And we pray as he taught us. We pray as he taught us. That is what it means. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. To pray through the Son, to pray in his name, means that we pray as he taught us. That we shape our prayers around his priorities. We let his big plan for the world govern our prayers as he taught us. I think of it a bit like this. Think of Pippa Middleton. Okay, you know Pippa Middleton, the sister of Kate, the Duchess of Cambridge. Imagine Pippa is having breakfast with the Queen. Okay, I don't know if she does, but imagine Pippa's having breakfast with the Queen. And imagine Prince William is there as well, and they're just dipping their soldiers into their boiled eggs. And Pippa's speaking to the Queen. And Pippa's asking a favour, in fact, of the Queen. Now, why should the Queen listen to Pippa? Why should the Queen grant Pippa Middleton's request? Pippa, just an editor, just a socialite. Why should the Queen do what Pippa asks? Well, only because of Prince William. Only because Pippa is obviously William's sister-in-law. And when William married Kate, well, he kind of brought Pippa into the family as well, didn't he? Now, of course, if Pippa prays something that obviously wouldn't be good for Prince William. So if Pippa doesn't pray. We're getting there. If Pippa asks the Queen, she says to the Queen, please, Your Majesty, is it okay if you just disinherit William, okay? Let me be Queen and you could give me the crown jewels while you're about it. Is that okay? The Queen's not going to do that, is she? But if Pippa asks a favour in line with William's priorities and agenda, perhaps Pippa asks, you know, please, Your Majesty, when, you know, little baby Munchkin is born, in a few years' time, would it be okay if I babysit the baby? And I thought maybe I could take the baby to see your doll's house. I know it's rather fine. Would that be okay, please, Your Majesty? Well, surely the Queen will say yes. In the same way, when we pray through the Son, because he bought us and as he taught us, then Christians should be confident as we pray. And you're wondering where Kate fits in. We'll come to Kate later, okay? Now, of course, we don't know what's on God's agenda. Sometimes we pray for something to happen we would love to happen, and that doesn't happen. And it's a desperately emotional thing. Or we pray for a job or a university place and it doesn't come. And his ways are higher than ours. His wisdom is mysterious to us. Now, of course, we can pray about anything. We have such a relationship with God as our Father through the Lord Jesus. We can pray about anything. And yet the more confident we are that we're praying according to the Jesus agenda, the more confident we can be as we pray. Father, please help me to be more patient with that person today. Father, please give me opportunity to honour you in conversation today. Father, please help me to be content in you today. Father, please keep my eyes from wandering today. As we pray through the Son, the more confident we are, we are praying according to Jesus' agenda, the more confident we can be. We can be confident in prayer because he bought us and as he taught us. Well, we pray first to the Father and secondly through the Son. And thirdly and finally, we pray by the Spirit. We pray by the Spirit. Stay in Romans, please. But now, let me just read again that verse we began with. from Ephesians. Ephesians 2 verse 18. We read, through Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Access by one Spirit. We pray by the Spirit. What does that mean? It means the Spirit is how we pray. The Spirit is the way that we pray. So in Romans chapter 8, will you turn there with me, please? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Earlier in this passage, Paul has taught various things that God does for us by the Holy Spirit. So verses 5 to 8, God directs our desires by His Spirit. Verses 9 to 11, God gives us life by His Spirit. Verses 12 to 14, God leads us into godliness by His Spirit. And let's see now, as a father works by his Spirit, let's see now what we do by the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 15. It says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We pray by the Spirit. Here in verses 15 to 17, that means that the Spirit makes us pray. The Spirit makes us pray. Verse 15, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. If we're Christians, then the Holy Spirit has come to live inside us. Not as an evil spirit would enslave, not at all. No, as the Holy Spirit, he adopts us, he welcomes us into God's family. And just as there was a day early in our lives, and no doubt when we first cried, Dada, Dada, and maybe the dad was delighted that you'd said that before you said Mama, or maybe it was the other way around, but you said Dada, Dada. Just so the Spirit causes Christians to cry out to God, Abba, Abba, Hebrew, Aramaic, I suppose. For Father. The Spirit makes us pray. So however hard we find prayer, and we do, however easily distracted we are, however much we put it off, if we're trusting and following Jesus, then something or someone inside us eventually compels us to pray, even if it's as little as one word, Abba. Father, I'm so sorry I've not prayed today. I'm so sorry, forgive me. Help me tomorrow, I pray. The Spirit makes us pray. Yeah, that's not quite enough, is it? Even that, it's not quite enough. Because so often we started praying and then we just don't know what to say. I mean, should I pray that my aunt will recover from her life-threatening disease? Or should I simply pray that she'll know God's comfort in the midst of it, and hope? Well, the Spirit makes us pray, but wonderfully also, the Spirit helps us pray. He helps us pray. Romans chapter 8 still. Flick over with me to verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, or perhaps more literally, the words do not express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. He who searches our hearts, that is God the Father, he knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Spirit helps us pray. He sympathizes with our groaning. Paul's been writing about the groaning of the world and the groaning of us. Our groaning in a creaking world, in creaking bodies with cancer and quakes and corruption. And the Spirit helps us pray. And see halfway through verse 26. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans. Amazingly, the Spirit groans silently in prayer to the Father as he sympathizes with our groans. Verse 27, as we struggle in prayer, the Spirit prays with us. The Spirit knows God's will perfectly. The Father understands the Spirit precisely. It's a perfect line of communication. The Spirit helps us pray. He prays alongside us. No doubt you've been in a foreign country, maybe France, and no doubt you've got a smattering of French. And perhaps you made a stab at talking in French. Perhaps your French, like mine, was a little bit ropey. And it was okay because we had our friend there with us, a French person. And they were also fluent in English, as most of the continental people are. Oh, no, they put us to shame. And our friend helped us. And so we were on the banks of the Seine, and the waiters offered us the dessert menu, and we said, you know, in French, yes, merci, je suis plein, merci, je suis plein. And fortunately, our French translator helper was there. To explain that we didn't actually mean to say that we were pregnant. We just meant to say that we were full, thank you very much. It's a little bit like that. We pray by the Spirit. He helps us pray. Think of Pippa Middleton again, having breakfast with the Queen. They're onto the, what do you have after? Soldiers, and I don't know if you're the Queen. She's a bit shy, really, Pippa, in my mind anyway. She's trying to remember her table manners, wondering if she wouldn't be better at home watching Saturday Kitchen. But thankfully, she's with a third host or her hostess at the table, and yes, it's Kate, Duchess of Cambridge, Pippa's sister. Kate is at her side. Now, Kate is so closely related to Pippa, she's her sister. And yet Kate is one of them. She's part of the royal family. So Kate is perfectly placed to encourage Pippa to keep talking when she's distracted by the corgis running around. And Kate can whisper in Pippa's ear ideas, suggestions of things to pray for. Not to pray for. to talk with the Queen. Well, she might to talk with the Queen about. And if, bizarrely, Pippa decided to speak in street slang, Kate could translate for the Queen. Now, in a similar way, we pray by the Spirit. He makes us pray. He helps us pray. Well, let's be talkative then as we pray. There's no point getting tongue-tied because we're not sure what to say. I better to say something, and the Spirit will help us. Wonder if that's why we struggle at prayer meetings sometimes, because we worry that we have to pray for kind of theological masterpieces. Maybe that's why some of us don't go to prayer meetings very much, because we're not confident about praying we're not confident about talking in groups at the best of times, let alone praying. But the wonderful thing is that praying is so much easier than talking in a group, because when we pray, we've got the Holy Spirit inside us, helping communicate with the Father. And even if we don't know what to say, and just humbly, we just blurt out something about sorry, or about thank you, or about please. The Spirit takes that and communicates it perfectly to the Father. So let's be talkative in prayer. Talkative on our own. Talkative in prayer meetings. Well, C.S. Lewis said, prayer is irksome. And I've not suggested any techniques tonight to help us, other than perhaps meeting together to pray. Because techniques, helpful as they are, they don't get to the heart of the problem, do they? They won't make prayer less irksome. What we need is to know God better. The Bible says in various places, pray continually. When we read that, it's easy to say, oh, it doesn't actually mean that. It's okay. But the better we understand the doctrine of the Trinity, the better we understand our delightful relationship with God, the Trinity, the less strange it appears to say, pray continually. Praise God that we pray to God the Father, we pray through the Son and by the Spirit. Praise God for the doctrine of the Trinity.